Welcome to this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. The Hoosiers battled on Wednesday to come back from a two-run deficit and defeat the Morehead State Eagles by a score of 6-5, with a Brock Tibbetts walk-off RBI single in the bottom of the 10th inning. The Hoosiers had 14 hits, paced by three apiece from Tibbetts, as well as Devin Taylor, who also had two home runs on the day, including the tying solo shot in the ninth. The media met with head coach Jeff Mercer and Taylor after the game.
Your team fought pretty much the whole game, kind of got punched in the mouth a few times, but then managed to come back and get the win. What does that mean?
Well, I thought we played well throughout the game. We had five or six lineouts with guys on base. Guy robbed a three-run homer from Pine. And so, you know, we played well. Just kind of some tough luck went against us a few times. They hit, you know, two solo homers and a two-run homer, and you find yourself in a really tough game. I was just really proud of just their continued resiliency and their fight. And I think you had, you know, 14 hits and six or seven lineouts, and you're like, dang, man, you think you probably scored more than six runs, but sometimes that's what it takes. You know, you look at, you're down by two in the eighth, and Matt Ellis pinch hits, takes a huge walk, Glasser singles next, it's a one-run game, and you're right back in it, right? Taylor leads off with a homer. You know, you're looking at we have second and third and one out in the 10th, and we don't score it. And, you know, that's something that can be kind of a devastating blow emotionally to a team, but we responded right back. And you come out and you find a way to punch through in the ninth and win the ball game. So, you know, I really challenged the guys yesterday because, you know, we hadn't played great. We didn't play great yesterday. We didn't really play great last weekend for the most part. Just to come out and to be able to play the style and the brand of baseball that we play. And if we would have won or lost today in the ninth or the 10th inning, it wouldn't have mattered necessarily, because we played well. We did a good job. And sometimes baseball is a silly game, and like, you line out seven times and, you know, coaches, you got to deal with it. That's part of the game. But I'm really glad for them that they were able to fight through and win. I think it shows a great toughness and a great resiliency.
When you came out to talk to Tyler Cerny late in the game, call time, what did you say to him?
So Tyler was, they were sudden off the ground. And you know, I moved him and Taylor up in the lineup because they've been really good. And he's got a bigger leg lift. And so he'd been late to start. Okay. And so he'd beat everything into the ground. And so I wanted to see that pitcher a couple of pitches. I told him earlier in the game, you're late off the ground. Either you need to go to your two-strike stance and settle in, or you need to get started sooner and do your bigger leg lift. But you can't do neither, because when you're late, you abandon ship and you get really steep. That's why he keeps beating balls on the ground. But he's a freshman, and so you're trying to help him through it. But once I kind of saw the situation that we were in, my fear was a double play. And so I wanted to talk to him. I just said, listen, you got to get started on time, whether it's your regular stance or a two-strike stance, and you've got to get to the middle of the baseball. You got to get your eyes in the middle of the ball. And he did. And that's what you try to teach guys, is when you're beat, don't abandon ship and roll the top hand, because it's double play ball. And so he was in his two strike. You see him, he settled down. He was in his two strike stance a little bit. And he gets a fastball in, and it did what all good hitters do. Instead of breaking and rolling over and double play ball, he just stayed through it on the trademark, and he floats a line drive out there. So whether I had anything to do with that or not, but that was kind of the thought process. We were talking about it earlier in the game. And there'll be a time where, you know, Tyler doesn't need, you know, Tyler's a great player, and but just kind of the little things that come up to be really big deals in those different moments, staying out of double play, especially with, you know, Devin Taylor behind him, who was a man on a mission today. You wanted to make sure you got to Devin, and he ended up floats a ball out there, and you go second and third.
And you mentioned that Taylor had a good day. When they intentionally walked him, how did you feel about Brock Tibbetts' chances coming up and delivering?
Well, Brock has played progressively better through the course of the last week. We worked out this morning. He had a really good morning. I felt as good as you can feel about it with the guy, with a right on right, with a changeup and a slider. He was 90-91 with a changeup and a slider. And, you know, I was a little bit, I was hoping he hit that fastball that he fouled back, and he swung through a slider, and then they threw him the changeup. But like I told Brock, just simplify, just get on the ground and find the barrel, right? Because if you hit a fly ball to the outfield, it doesn't matter. Right, we just need to be on the barrel. We need to not be rolled over in a double play to go to the extra innings. But did a really good job. If you throw breaking balls down and over the plate, he's so long and strong. you know, that's kind of in his wheelhouse. That's kind of his hot zone.
Carter seems to be making good contact lately, and then it seemed like it finally paid off today.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. You know, we kind of look at the statistics, and, you know, Carter's hammered a few balls right into the wind, and you kind of think, man, that's kind of how a tougher day. But he has progressively made better contact throughout the last 2 weeks. And today was kind of like, it was kind of the day. And you kind of thought it might be a good day for him. Our lefties had good days versus the sinker. You know, righties had less success. But yeah, his bat path was better. He stood up a little bit. He was just more playable, more room for error. He hit fastballs to the other opposite field. He hit breaking balls to his pull side on the line. When guys are doing that, when guys are hitting fastballs the other way and breaking balls are pull side, they're usually in a pretty good spot. So I was really, really happy for Carter and to see his hard work pay off.
Two more.
Have you been adjusting the lineup based on early on a lot of matchup pitching, and now you seem to be sprinkling your lefties throughout the lineup?
Yeah, early on I was just trying to, because with starters not being worked up, and you know, he's a starter for a reason, because if he was as good, if the bullpen guy was as good as a starter, he would be the starter. So I would stack those lefties if the numbers indicated that he was worse against lefties, and try to force them into the pen as early as we could. Now that guys are worked up a little bit more, it's not as impactful. And then a lot of teams' lefties are more adept at coming in those situations now. So I'm trying to spread them out to give the – so it doesn't make it as easy for the lefties to just, like, wipe out our lefties in one inning. You got to mix them up a little bit. So, yeah, you're always on that stuff. You hit the nail on the head there. I was just trying to force their hand instead of, you know, the guy comes out in the fifth, he's out in the fourth, right? One inning earlier, and then especially when you're playing, and we're playing Auburn and Texas and East Carolina and those guys, getting to that bullpen arm on a Friday pays huge dividends on a Sunday. And I knew we would be in a good position on Sunday to win some games with Sennard in the back end likely. And I just wanted to get to the pen. And the reality is it actually worked. You think about the lefty from Texas that Tibbetts doubled on Sunday for the game-winning hit, he threw on Friday. And so he had thrown all of our righties cross-fired fastballs in. And so I pulled Tibbetts in and I said, hey, he's going to cross-fire a fastball into you. Be ready. And he did. He ambushed a fastball like a 91 cut in for a double down the line. And so you can help guys over the course of a weekend when you're playing the same team by kind of the way you stack it. And I also see the other side as a hitter because I played that I would like, I just want to, I hit fourth every day. And so at the beginning of the season, kind of, I make the lineup based on a lot of the matchups and how I think they go. And then once the season kind of unfolds, you kind of try to let the players make the lineup more so. And we've been really close offensively. We were still really close today to like really breaking open. But I kind of thought a day like today may be coming. And again, whether they catch it or don't, all you can do is hit it hard. And we hit a bunch of balls hard today. So it was really good.
Else?
There were a couple of base running situations in which you almost seemed to get yourself out of ran yourself into situations.
Yeah, really really you. We ran twice into an out at third base. Now the first time Bobby was able to slide up, and so you kind of traded an out for a guy at second base. But yeah, that was kind of, I was kind of bonehead. Yeah, I kind of scratched my head and I tried to give benefit of the doubt. Like, hey, maybe there's something I didn't see. Maybe. I don't know what you thought was it, because we'll practice that where it's like a right-handed hitter, hard chopper, high bounce, and you beat the guy to third base. And I was like, did you think that? It's like, no. So it's just like a ground ball in front of you. We just can't do that. Yeah, it was
just a teachable moment.
Yeah, just a teachable moment. It was, yeah, I was, again, smart kids. Both of the guys that did are good base runners, smart. Yeah. It's like that was just uncharacteristic. We did it twice. So we just need to address it and make sure we don't do that again.
Devin, we've seen this a lot though, where you know, someone gets bumped up into like the three hole in the lineup, and then they kind of go into a slump. Kind of the opposite with you. What happened today?
I mean, like I told you last week, like I'm still going to be hitting early with Coach Weatherford, Coach Mercer, everybody. Like today during the drill work, I felt really good, and I made sure to translate that to the game today for sure.
When you hit that first home run in the third inning, or in your first at bat, sorry, you looked like you knew it was gone as soon as it left your bat. How did that feel coming off your bat?
Honestly, like it felt, well, of course it felt amazing off the bat, but I didn't really think it was gone until like three steps out, honestly. Like sometimes I underestimate my power myself, and that was definitely one of those times.
And with the second home run, I mean, you guys are down. You're in a pretty significant situation. What's going through your mind at that point?
I mean, just the plan that we've set at the beginning of the fall, and that's to get to first base. Of course, I hit all four bases at once, but the goal was to make sure I get to first base in any way possible. No strikeout looking, no strikeout. Like, that's just not me. So making sure first base was my goal.
And when you got intentionally walked in the 10th inning, what was going through your mind?
Well, I mean, I kind of figured it, like, two home runs, like, you kind of have to do that. But I trusted Brock behind me to do what he did. So, I mean, there was no worries in that.
So what was it like celebrating a walk-off win?
I mean, it's great. Like, I haven't honestly done it in a long time. I couldn't tell you when the last time was. So it was pretty, pretty cool.
That concludes this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Thursday's Game 2 of the Morehead State Series is now scheduled for a 1 p.m. first pitch with freshman Braden Reisdorf on the bump for IU. See you at the BART.